Thanks, worship team, for leading us again. And the children at this time would be dismissed for children's church with Mrs. Conklin, so the children can go. And for everyone else, I would invite you to open a Bible, if you have one, to Psalm 37. The book of Psalms is about midway through the Bible and is one of the largest. And so if you put your finger about halfway through, you'll come to the book of Psalms. Psalm 37 is where we will be looking today. And last week, as I shared in the announcements, we talked about vision and where we believe the Lord is leading us, and some specific steps to be engaging in, taking over the next 5 years. And so if you weren't here again last week, it's online on the church website on the sermons page, and there are handouts in the back to get all that information that you can follow along. And we really would welcome your feedback. A number of people have shared thoughts, and so we welcome that. We are looking to discern what God's will is and for us to come as a church family in unity around what God has for us. And so on June the 10th, we will be having a special congregational meeting, as I announced at the beginning, and it'll be a time for any last opportunities for discussion, for questions, for answers. And then at that time, everyone's invited, but it's at that time then that the members, just the way our church government is set up, the members would be the ones who are able to vote in that time. But we want to hear from everyone, and everyone is invited into this process. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk specifically about discerning God's will and how we kind of walk through that on an individual as well as a corporate scale of discerning the will of God. And no better time to talk about that than when we're seeking to discern it is how do you do it, and as we're praying to discern the will of the Lord together. And so as we would do that and look into Psalm 37 today, I just would ask that we would take a moment just to quiet our hearts before the Lord and ask that He would give us His wisdom and direction. And so, Father, we thank You for the gift of Your word, and we ask that You would lead us into Your truth. Father, may it not be anything that I would say that would land on hearts and that would change lives this morning, but may it truly be Your word, Your message to us. And so in any ways that I need to get out of the way, I want to be sensitive to that so that Your word is heard. Father, lead us into truth. Your Holy Spirit has been given. And one of His roles is to lead us into truth. So Holy Spirit, we surrender to Your leading, that You would open our eyes and our ears to see and to hear what You would have to say. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Psalm 37 is a psalm of David, and we will be reading it throughout. It's 40 verses or so long, and so I'm not going to take the time right at the outset because it'll take a long time to get there, but we'll be reading it along the way. And just so you have a little bit of background, its setup is that it was written by David later in his life, King David, written later in his life, and was written in an acrostic form. And the way that it was taken is the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the first letter started a two, what would be in our versions, about a two-verse section on that first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then the second part would be on the second letter, and that's how David wrote this. We would never get that in English, because obviously it's English, and David would have written in Hebrew. And so that is the format. There are a lot of concepts being talked about, but he jumps down and talks through what it looks like to live a way of life in discerning the will of God. You know, oftentimes when the topic comes up about discerning the will of God, it's when a major decision needs to be made, right? We talk most about, I want to discern the will of God when there is a major decision that needs to be made. Decisions such as, who should I marry? Or, what job should I take? Or which house should I buy? Or where, as the kids are growing up, maybe it was a college decision for you or your children or your grandchildren, they're working through, where should I go to college? Maybe you're facing an important medical procedure, and there's a number of doctors and number of hospitals that you could go to for this procedure, and so you seek the will of the Lord to know which doctor or which hospital should I go to. And as we're in this journey over these next couple weeks of seeking to discern the will of the Lord for our church, it's a time when we are seeking His will. All of these and many, many, many more options are critically important to understanding God's will, and rightly so. But I would caution us that approaching the whole idea of discerning God's will chiefly around the major decisions of our lives makes discerning God's will into an event. And when the event is over, i.e., when we have reached the decision, when we believe we have come to the understanding of the will of the Lord, the event is over, the decision has been made, and now we move on into life. And we can easily just consult the Lord's wisdom and His direction and seek to discern His will around the major decisions of life, and the rest of our lives, we just kind of go along our merry way. And when we come next to the big one, we come back and we seek to discern the will of the Lord. It essentially makes discerning God's will about an event focus. When discerning the will of God is not about an event primarily, though at seasons like this of big decisions, we certainly want to come and seek extra. But discerning the will of the Lord is more about a way of life than it is about an event. It's not about one or two or three decisions. It's about living life with God in relationship with Him, in which all decisions naturally flow through Him. And so while we have big decisions to make, seeking the will of God and discerning it is not an event, but rather a way of life that sometimes requires a little extra focus and a little extra attention to discerning what He wants. So that's where we're going this morning, as I would invite us into a few moments of looking into the Word of God to make discerning God's will a way of life and not just an event. Three thoughts this morning. You can find basic sermon notes, and there'll be basic PowerPoint up on the screen that you can fill in. Three thoughts this morning on making discerning God's will a way of life. The first is delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. I want to begin because this is one of the key thoughts that gives us direction to this passage, and this is the idea of delight in verse 4. It says, David says in verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. To delight means to come to a place where you take great pleasure, where you are consumed by, where you come into being just overwhelmed, where your mind is totally fixated on the pleasure and the delight of one thing. It is overwhelming to you. You have no other brain space. Your life is built around taking delight in something. It is an all-consuming feeling, all-consuming drive. And so David says, a man after God's own heart, a man who knew how to walk with God, says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I want you to think for a moment about a young man who has come across a beautiful young woman. And they've begun to talk, and there is clearly chemistry. He likes her, and she likes him. And all of a sudden, what happens to that young man? Young men, you've been there, right? Come to that, and she is all you can think about. Men in the room, if that's ever happened to you, raise your hand. Okay. She becomes your all-consuming passion. You take great delight in her. When you have nothing to think about, your mind goes right to her. When you have things that are on your mind and you're thinking about, your mind goes to her. You know, you see the person, the guy's just kind of out here. You know, everyone else is around in the room. Okay, you know what's going on. He's thinking about because he is consumed with this young lady. And it will lead him to do crazy things, right? It will lead him to watch movies that he would never watch on his own in his life, right? Amen, Harry says. The quote-unquote chick flicks. He would never get caught on his own watching some of these movies, but she wants to watch it, and he's like, okay, you know. It will lead him to walk into the card store and walk up and down the love letter, the love card section, and read one card after another and be bawling in the card section for a guy who never shed a tear before in his life, even when he broke his leg in four places. Never cried. But now he's in the card section, and he's reading all these sappy things, and he just the tears are flowing. Would have never happened. Why? Because he is taking delight in her, and he is willing to do things for her that if she wasn't in the picture, he would have never done. And the way you know when a guy is fully taking delight in a young lady is this: when all of his friends make fun of him and say, man, at least the term when I was in high school was, you're whipped. Is that still, you familiar with that term? It's like that whole, you got no decision-making process in this. She is running your life, and you don't even care. That's the idea of being whipped. And all your friends are saying, man, you're doing some crazy things. Like, I don't care. Why? Because you have come and you are so enthralled with this young lady that she is your delight and you are willing to do anything for her, even be made fun of by your friends. See, the one that a young man in this situation delights in dictates what he does. The one that this young man delights in dictates what he does. The same is true in this passage. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This can easily be read as delight yourself, and then God's here to give you everything you want. But that's not what happens when you delight yourself in the Lord. When you delight yourself in the Lord and he becomes your all-consuming passion, he is the one that you live for, that you think about, that he is the one that drives you, guess what your desires become? His desires. And so when you delight yourself in the Lord, there's something that takes place, just like a young man to a woman. He no longer cares about his desires. He wants to see her desires take place. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, we no longer care about our desires. We want to see the desires of the Lord take place. And so our desires really are his desires. And so David can say with all confidence that out of delighting yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart, because the desires of your heart become the desires of God's heart. And that is the whole idea about this way of life. See, everything comes out of delight in the Lord. It is a way of living with God that now the things we live for are not my things, but they are the things of God. It aligns ourselves with him and his will, so that we don't have to keep coming back all the time. Lord, what do you need? What do you want? Okay, now I'll go delight myself in myself. Lord, my desire is for you. And on these big event, life-altering decisions, my decision making is simply, Lord, this is my heart's already turned towards you. I think I know what you want already, but I need to make sure because this is a big one. But I already sense where you're leading because my delight is in you. And you're giving me the desires of your heart. They're becoming the desires of my heart. Delighting in God changes our desires to his desires. In verses 3 through 9 and then verses 30 to 31, David gives some actions, some steps, some practices that a delighting in God person can and will engage in. And so I just want to walk through several of these from verses 3 through 9 and then 30 to 31. Because sometimes people say, what does it look like to delight yourself in the Lord? Here's what David explains how it looks. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Delighting in the Lord is, Lord, I trust you. And Lord, I'm going to be about good things, life-giving things for the people around me. I'm not going to set my hand to evil. I'm going to set my hand to good. Lord, I trust you. I lay my life before you, and I choose to do good. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Commit your way. Lord, my way, I commit to you. I'm not going to trust myself in myself. I'm going to commit my way to you. I'm going to trust you with my life. Verse 6, he will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. As a result of committing your way to the Lord, of trusting in him, he will do this. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. One of the hardest things when it comes to delighting is to patiently wait in the presence of the Lord until his presence is your delight. In our world that is so full of noise and activity, and text messages, and televisions, and radios, one of the hardest things to do in our day is to be still and to wait on the Lord. But this may be one of the most important disciplines to engage in if we are going to delight in the Lord. Go back to thinking about that young man. He has no problem just sitting and being with the young girl, because he likes being with her. He doesn't have to do anything, doesn't have to have things going around. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word, just sit there and be with them, because it's a beautiful thing. It's delight. And it's the same thing in intimacy and relationship with God and developing delight in him, of just sitting in the presence of the Lord, patiently, quietly, waiting on him. If this is not something that's a regular part of your life, let me encourage you. Do everything you can to carve out some time where you are in quiet, waiting and just sitting before the Lord. Sitting until every thought is gone. And you are completely still before him. Now, let me tell you, that can be one of the hardest and most frustrating things to do if your mind runs 100 miles an hour. If you're like me, it's not an easy thing. But just one quick little practice tip that you might be able to do. When you're sitting with the Lord to wait patiently on him, take a pad of paper with you, and when a thought comes to mind, write it down and say, Lord, that's an important thought. But it's not the most important thing right now. Delighting in you is. And I'll come back to that later. I guarantee you, if you will wait patiently, and it may take some time, you will get to a point where the thoughts become done. And when I say wait patiently, I'm saying there have been times when it's taken 2 to 3 hours before all the thoughts are out because we're filled up with stuff. But wait patiently on the Lord. Be still before him. Verse 7 goes on, do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Don't worry. Don't become consumed with other people and with things. Verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Again, do not fret. It only leads to evil. Fretting, worrying, being consumed causes us to run into stuff that we have no business running into. Verse 9, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Place your hope in the Lord. Our speech in verse 30, the mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom and his tongue speaks what is just. Of seeking to speak only what is good of others and of what is right and just and repenting of the words that are not wholesome and not pure. In verse 31, the law of God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. Of taking, and as you're patiently waiting on the Lord, of allowing the word of God to be what fills your heart. It's the idea of being so permeated with the word of God that it is what comes out. That scripture verses over time are the things that are on your mind and are on your tongue. That as you're sitting waiting in the presence of the Lord, a scripture verse will come that he will use to lead you into a place of delight with him. Of becoming so familiar with the word of God that it is hidden deep in your heart. The psalmist says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. It is a deep held permeation of your being where the word of God is deep. Trust in the Lord and do good. Commit your way to the Lord. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. Don't fret or become worried or consumed with other people or things. Refrain from anger. Put your hope in the Lord. Speak with purity. Keep the law of your God in your heart. See, decision making and discerning the will of God is not about an event. It's about a way of life, and it begins by delighting in the Lord. Secondly, desire God's delight in you. Desire God's delight in you. Verses 23 to 29 says this, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. David, at the end of his life, reflects and he says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Can you imagine that? What a powerful statement. Through all my life, I have never seen the righteous forsaken by God. Sure, there have been challenges, sure, there have been difficulties. We'll get to that in a moment, but the way of God is that the righteous will not be forsaken. It is for those who say, in verse 23, it is said of them, if the Lord delights in a man's way. You know, friends, it is a biblical truth that God loves the world. All people in the world. Do you believe that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God is for all peoples. But there is a difference between the love of God for all peoples and God delighting in a man or a woman. You say, well, isn't that favoritism? No, this is God responding to a person responding to him. God delights in those who delight in him. Let me say that again, because wrestle with this thought for a second. God delights, if God delights in a man's way, David says. If God delights in man's way. In other words, there are ways that men will take that God will not delight in. Right? Does that make sense? If God delights. How does God delight in a man's way? God delights in a man's way if he first delights in the Lord. A heart turned towards the Lord, God delights in. It's like a child who comes to their parent and they're just full of love for them. And they want to do everything their mom or their dad says. They turn their lives and they say, I want to obey. I want to listen. I want to be with you, mommy. I want to be with you, daddy. What does that do to a parent's heart? Oh, it brings such great delight, doesn't it? Now listen, if a son or a daughter comes conversely to that mother or father and says, I hate you. I don't want anything to do with you. Forget you. I don't want anything. I wish you weren't my mom and dad. Any of those things. Does that change the love of the parent for the son or the daughter? No. But is there a lot of delight going on by that parent in their child at the moment? No. And it's the same way when we say, God, you are the one that I want more than anything in this world. I want your way. I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. There is nothing in the world that I would rather do than be with you. I want to delight in you. There is a response by the heart of God towards those who say, I want to delight in you. And he delights in them. He longs to be with those who long to be with him. The heart of God is inexplicably turned towards those who say, God, I want you. I want you. And so to make desiring God's delight in you what drives you will actually lead you back to a place where you delight yourself in the Lord. See, as I see it, we really have about three things that we can delight in. We can delight in the Lord. We can delight in ourselves. Right? I live for my pleasure, for my good, for my well-being. I love myself so much that I think I'm the greatest thing in the world and I will do anything to make myself happy. Be honest, that's an option, right? And the third option, as I see it, is delighting in created things. People, possessions, wealth, status, comfort, any of those things. See, what you desire to delight in will determine the delight that the Father has in you. He's going to love you, but if you want to know the delight of the Father over your life, it is turned towards those who delight in him. And so the question becomes, who are you delighting in? Are you delighting in the Lord? His delight will be in you. Are you delighting in yourself? His delight will not be in you. Are you delighting in created things? His delight will not be in you. He'll still love you. But if you want delight, a delight relationship where you delight yourself in the Lord, he will delight himself in you. And so may it be the thing that drives us. May we want, God, I want to delight in you, and I want your delight in me. Desire God's delight in you. See, when we do these two things, this is about a way of life, isn't it? This is about a way you live, whether you have a major decision to make or not. This is a way of life, of delighting yourself in the Lord and seeking his delight over you. Delight yourself in the Lord. Desire his delight over your life. And it will lead you to a place where discerning the will of God is much more about a way of life than it is about an event. Lastly, when it comes to discerning God's will, delighting yourself in him, desiring his delight over your life, take God's long view. Take God's long view. Here's what I mean. There are two really key players in this psalm that David talks about. The wicked and the righteous or the blameless. Two groups of people. In verses 1 and 2, 9 and 10, 12 to 17, and 20 to 22, he talks about the wicked. So I want to read those, and we're just going to look through at what God says about those who are not delighting in him, who are against his will. Verses 1 and 2, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Verses 9 and 10, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, verse 10, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. Verses 12 through 17, the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Verses 20 to 22, but the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land. And though he curses those he curses, he will cut off. Do you ever ask the question, why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? David wrestles with this. And he says, when it comes to discerning the will of the Lord, and it comes to answering that question, it's about taking God's long view. Did you hear some of the things that he says? For like grass, verse 2, they will soon wither. Like plants, they'll soon die away. When it comes to wealth, though they have it, it will quickly run out. When it comes to power, it will be like vanishing smoke. Though they have success, it is a very short-lived success. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, talked about it this way. He said, imagine a wicked man sitting down at a table. You know that he is a wicked man, and all you see is him, and he has a gigantic spread of food. The most sumptuous foods in all of the land are brought before him, course after course after course after course after course, after course, and he is eating his fill while the poor and the needy stand on the side and have nothing. It makes you mad, right? It makes you mad. And Spurgeon says that what this is all about is you look at this and it makes you angry because you see the wicked having this wonderful meal. But then as you back off and you pan out of it, you recognize something. That this man is on death row. And this meal is his final meal before his execution. See, the short view says, God, that's unfair. God, I want to see quick results. I want to see things happen fast. The wicked see things in the short term. The righteous see things in the long term. Verse 9 says, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Verse 11, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Verses 18 and 19, the days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure, if you're reading it, how long? Forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. Verses 21 and 22, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous are able to give generously because the Lord blesses, those the Lord blesses will inherit the land. On to verses 32 to 40. It says, the wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives, but the Lord will not leave them in their power or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. If you have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil, but he soon passed away and he was no more, though I looked for him, he could not be found. Verses 39 to 40, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He gives and delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Do you see the contradiction of the two? You have the wicked who have short-term success. You have the wicked who have lots of power, lots of authority, lots of wealth, lots of short-term gain. But in the end, they lose it all. And you have those who are blameless and righteous, and sometimes they don't have as much. And sometimes it seems like the wicked are having their way with them. Sometimes it seems like the bad things are happening to the good people. But what happens in the long term? They are the ones who inherit the land. They are the ones who endure forever. They are the ones who live under the blessing of the Lord that does not end. See, it's about the view we take when it comes to the will of the Lord. Do we say, I need to see it now? Or do we say, I'm willing to persevere to see it through to the end? The will of the Lord rarely happens immediately. As far as the flourishing of it, the will of the Lord usually is a long time coming because it's not an event, it's a way of life. And when it's a way of life and we are more concerned with delighting in Him and Him delighting in us, then it's just a matter of, Lord, when's it going to come? I don't really care because you know what? I got you. Verses 37 and 38 sum it up, and then we'll wrap up. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future or a posterity for the man of peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future or the posterity of the wicked will be cut off. Good to be on the side of the Lord, isn't it? And in the short term, if it seems like the wicked are having their way, if it seems like, boy, we're just not seeing the will of God taking place, recognize it's not about just in this moment. It's about the long view. It's about the way of life, not just the event. And even more, it is about delighting in Him and His delight in you. See, discerning the will of God is not an event. It is a way of life. where we live, delighting in him, desiring his delight over us, and patiently enduring step after step as we walk with him for the long view of his will to be done. It's a way of life that sometimes takes a little extra attention to figure out what do you want us to do in the big ones here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart, his desires. Desire his delight over your life and take his long view. I was involved in a meeting recently of area pastors here in our district, Western Pennsylvania, of our denomination. And Pastor Rock Dilliman, who is the senior pastor at Allegheny Center Alliance Church down on the north side, was at the meeting, and he shared some things about the history of their church and about the drive towards caring for the nations. And in the midst of it, he was telling about the journey that Allegheny Center has been on for years. When he went to Allegheny Center, it was a church that was on the rapid decline, looked nothing like the neighborhood. The neighborhood was very, very diverse, and Allegheny Center was 100% Caucasian. And in the midst of looking to reach their community and to believe that God was not done with their church, he began to pray and began to really believe strongly. The Lord convinced him that the will of the Lord for the Allegheny Center of Alliance Church was that it would be a multicultural, multinational group of people who would follow Jesus in diverse community. And that's what they went for. And when he declared that and said, this is what I believe the will of the Lord is for our church, it was, again, 100% Caucasian. They began the process of ministering, but they began the process even more of delighting in the Lord and seeking his delight over them. And if you go to Allegheny Center Alliance Church today, you will see that the vision that the Lord gave to him is quite active. It is multinational, multicultural. It is a beautiful picture of the culture of the kingdom of God. As people from many languages, many races, many skin colors, all these places come together and follow Jesus together. It's a glorious thing. Do you know what I never knew that I found out? Guess how long it took from the declaration of the will of the Lord, the vision, to when they actually started to see it happen? Somebody throw out, how long do you think it took?
10 years.
A year, 10 years, 5 years? 11 years before the first African-American person came and worshiped in that church. 11 years. I was blown away when I heard that. 11 years. You know, for 11 years, I'm sure there were people who were going, our pastor's nuts. Right? But if you take the long view, God was right on time, right? But you know what? When it comes to our seeking the will of the Lord, and this is where we'll end, we normally just go for this. We say, God, what's your will? I want your will. I want to do your will. And our heart's in the right place. Lord, I want to do your will. So just tell me what to do and I'll do it. You know what God's really after? This. He's after who will delight themselves in me. Who will hunger and thirst after me? Who will live for my kingdom and my righteousness, even if it takes a long time to see this take place? See, God's not looking for people who are looking for quick fixes and who just want God to come in and put some duct tape on it and get it right. God is looking for people who are wholeheartedly devoted to Him, who hunger and thirst for Him, who delight in Him and nothing else. And who say, Lord Jesus, we want nothing but Your delight over us because we are delighting in You. And if we have that, if we are delighting in You and we have Your delight over us, you know what? It doesn't matter the rest of it. The rest of it will come. Focus on Him. Delighting in Him. Welcoming His delight over you. And then stick with it. Because rarely do you see a short view victory. It's usually a long time. So as we discern the will of the Lord together in this big decision, may it be fuel and may it be a breeding ground that would cause us to delight, trusting Him for His will to come. So this morning, I just want to simply call you to a place of seeking. Not even primarily what needs to be done, but first and foremost, Him. And if you're in a place where you're saying, you know what, I delight myself in a lot of things, and I can't say that He is the thing that I delight in, can I just ask you to consider this prayer? Lord, make my delight You. Strip away all the things that I delight in that are not You, for I want You. I want You. Worship team will come in a moment to lead us in a closing song. And I would just say, you know, I know going to the altar is not like always the most important thing. But I want to say that this altar is always open if you want to just come to be with God. You can delight in Him at your seat. But maybe the Lord is leading you to come delight in Him at an altar, at a place of prayer, just to say, Lord, here I am. I give myself to You. I want You more than anything else. I want You. And so as we would sing that final song, just know this is always available, not just today, but any day. It's always available to come if you want to pray there. So Father in heaven, Lord, we want to be about Your will. We want to accomplish what You have set out for us. But Father, if that ever becomes bigger than our delight and our love for You, Lord, may You stop us in our tracks. Because life with You is the more important thing than what we can do for You. For truly, we cannot do anything for You if we are not living life with You. So, Father, today as we talk about discerning Your will, God, I ask that You would start a stirring in our hearts that would lead us to a place where we would say, my delight is in the Lord alone. Lord, do it in me. In areas that I delight in other than You, Lord, rescue me from those things. For Father, we desire Your delight in us as we delight in You. We desire that You would give us the desires of our hearts because they have become Your desires. So, Father, would You give us a want? Would You give us a hunger? Would You give us a thirst? Would You not let us rest until we can say, Lord, I delight myself in You. Father, that's going to take a God act. So in our midst, please do it. For you are the greatest prize that we could ever have. Delight ourselves in you. Lord, we'll take the long view if we can have you. First and foremost, we want you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand in closing and reflect on God's faithfulness to us. We're heaven's spawn creation, His pride and adoration, treasures woven by His love. His careful hands, they hold us safe within His promise of calling and of destiny. And I will sing of all you've done, and I'll remember how far you've carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful, faithful to a Father's heart that's for me, a never-ending story of love that's always chasing me. His kindness overwhelming and hope for me unending. He's never given up on me. And I will sing of all you've done, and I'll remember how far you've carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end. Till the end, until the end. There wasn't a day that you weren't by my side. There wasn't a day that you let me fall. In all of my life, your love has been true. In all of my life, I will worship you.
Discerning and living in the will of God is about living life and delighting in a God who is faithful to the end, who never leaves, who never forsakes, that will always do His part. You never have to worry about God doing His part. He is faithful, faithful to the end. So may we be a people who delight in Him, who seek His delight over us more than anything else as we delight in Him, who faithfully walk with our faithful God, taking the long view, for his will to be done, for his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. May the Lord stir in you deep longing and hunger for delight until there is nothing else in this world that satisfies but him. May delight in the Lord and his delight over you be your passion, your driving passion. For he is faithful, faithful to the end. Go in his peace. Amen.
There was in the day that you weren't by my side. There was in a day that you let me fall. In all of my life, your love has been true. In all of my life, I will worship you. I will worship you.